6. Okay, this is a topic this morning that I've been, you know, praying about through the week, and then even dreamed about it on Saturday morning. I'm dreaming about this. You're getting all the outlines and everything. Ephesians 6, verse 10. This is like the closing of this letter, and I find that this is a very strange silence within the church. And I'm using that word pretty loosely. I went to 5 years of Christian college, never heard one message on spiritual warfare. Not one. 5 years, not one. And you can go to all the conferences, you won't hear him preach about this. It's just a really strange silence about it. And so we're going to hit that topic this morning. Ephesians 6, verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities." Now, you know what a principal is, like the principal of a school. "Against powers, against the spiritual rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. To wrestle with them is to be intermingled with them. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always." There, right there is what we'll be doing or mentioning is praying always. Praying about what? "With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for the saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, wherein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Notice, before a person speaks, verse 19, he's praying, verse 18, verse 10 to 20, he himself is getting himself cleaned up. So that's the process. So if you would, let's go and pray. "Lord, I do pray you cleanse this place with the shed blood of Christ, as I do so often here. And I pray that the Spirit would have liberty to open eyes. And I pray that each and every one would recognize that they have a tremendous power. The saved, the born again, have a tremendous power available to them. But sadly, the vast majority are not exercising this power. And I pray that this would be a day when they would start to exercise this power. In Jesus' name, amen." Okay, as I said, there is a strange, very strange silence amongst Christians about a spiritual dominion. Okay, remember it said to Adam, there's that willing participant, that remember Adam in Genesis 1, God told Adam to take dominion over the fish, the animals, take dominion. So Genesis 1:29, 6:128. And then in Psalm 8, he said that he created Adam, and Adam was to have dominion over the natural world. Okay, so we're going to transfer that to where you and I can take spiritual dominion over our sphere of influence. Dominion, that's the key. This, now, if you deal with demonology or whatnot, there's usually a sensationalism that is involved with evil spirits. And what that does is that draws a curiosity to the flesh, and it exalts the spirits rather than the power of God over the spirits. Okay, there's a problem with that. Okay, and there's a church up north, I think it's called Hedgewish Baptist or something like that, where they kind of put a shingle on the door that they specialize in deliverance, but I think the whole church needs delivered. Okay, and because that's not the pattern that Jesus followed. Okay, so we got to follow the pattern that he followed. It's not something that we look for, But it's something we know what to do when it crosses our path, and you'll be surprised how much it's around. So the sensationalism of it, or the typical exorcism, okay, Bill and Sharon Sneblin, were ghostbusters before it became out as a movie where they would kick out bad spirits, they thought, you know, and keep the good spirits. Okay, and it would take hours and hours. If you see a Catholic priest, or if you read Alberto, he talks about an experience where he was involved with an exorcism, and then he's floating up in the air, and he's shredded and all this stuff. Those types are glorifying the Roman Church and the spirits. It's not glorifying God. So that's possibly doing something they think right, but they're doing it in a wrong way. In a charismatic movement, they often have the drama involved and everything. And again, that's causing a glorification of the unseen world. And because of all these misconceptions, other believers don't say anything about it. Okay? And like I said, I went through 5 years of Christian college, and not once I heard a message, or even in class, they taught anything about spiritual warfare. Not a thing. And it's funny how the Lord brought it up and Paul brought it up, but why is the church so silent about these things? And it's because the devil knows that he's got to keep the church silent on him, because he is a defeated foe. Okay, and so we need to recognize this. Adam was given dominion over the earth. Dominion. Okay, I'm not talking about dominion voting machines, which is another form of dominion. Okay, now the word dominion, a lot of the English words, if you take the root word and then run it, you kind of get more of your definition for it. The word dominion, or domain, or dominate, or domesticate. If you domesticate a wild animal, you're taming it down. Okay, or domicile. A domicile is the legal term for your house. A domicile. Or a dome, where you put a dome over something, or you dominate, or you have a domino effect. Okay, and this is the dominion I'm talking about. In Psalm 19, verse 13, he talks about iniquity having dominion over a person. Sadly, that's the vast majority. The exception proves the rule. Dominion over that. And then Paul said in Romans 6 that sin shall not have dominion over the believer. But sadly, it does. Now, the last enemy that Jesus Christ conquered was death. Why? Because death has no more dominion over Jesus Christ. The statistics go that if 10 people are born, 10 people are going to die. Why? Because death has dominion. Of course, the rapture is the exception on that. Okay, but still the idea, can you and I take dominion? I'm not talking about of the natural world, even though as a father you want to, you know, be the head of your family, but there's a spiritual dominion that you and I should be accessing. And it's right there, it's available to you. You don't have to be strong, you don't have to, just any born-again believer who has Jesus Christ in their body, he's their Savior, have power, access to this power that Ephesians says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, most people are wrestling with flesh and blood. They're arguing back and forth, and they forgot that there's a spirit that's been kind of instigating this argument. When husband and wife are arguing back and forth, if they would both at the time of the argument stop and get on their knees and pray against the little imp that's in the corner that caused this argument, the argument may go away. Why? Because there's a spiritual entity that's right beside us everywhere. We're living in a parallel universe, visible and invisible. Why is it that we limit ourselves to the visible world? Okay, and that's a natural thing what people do. Okay, so I want to just run through some scriptures about the ministry of Christ. I'm not going to be detailed on them. I'm going to start with Matthew chapter 4, and I'll just show you the things that Jesus confronted in his ministry, and why is it that the church is not doing anything about these things or seeing this. Now, I can tell you stories that we've been through, amazing stories, but this should be something that a person sees. Matthew 4:24, his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments. Okay, sick people, that's a natural sickness. And those that were possessed with devil, there's a supernatural. Sometimes a natural illness can be caused by a supernatural problem. But why do they only treat the natural part? They treat the natural part, and then the supernatural keeps pestering them. Which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic. And those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Okay, now, the gift of healing has been put on the shelf because that is a spiritual gift or a sign gift between God and Israel. But notice possessed with devils. The common phrase is demon possession, okay, which is a kind of a watering down of it. But still, in the old days, they would teach you have good demons and bad demons. But when it's devils and you got dropped E, you got evil, you know it's evil. Okay, so possessed with devils. Okay, chronologically, chapter 8, verse 28. This is the definitive example, the two maniacs of Gadara. Mark chapter 5 writes about one of them. So when somebody is possessed, infested, and people are getting infested with this, verse 20, and when he was come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs. They're infatuated with dead things. Dead things as in the skull, as in a skeleton, as in gothic, as in abortion. They're infatuated with dead things as in Halloween, as with cemeteries. That's somebody who's infested, infatuated with dead things. And you can read down through there when you time, and you can see how the Lord Jesus Christ handled it. He just took care of it, matter-of-factly, and went on. No special sign, no special big show, no come up in front of the auditorium and put on a big drama effect. No, it just came across his path and boom, he took care of it. Chapter 9, verse 32. And they went out and behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. Okay, his physical ailment of dumbness, of he can't speak, was caused by a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitude marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. And I could say the same, it's never so seen in the church either. Okay, and this is what's going on. And we're seeing this stuff expand, and it's just amazing. Okay, chapter 10, verse 1, and when he called him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out. And to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Chapter 12. This thing built to a head in chapter 12. This is when the Israel, the nation of Israel, as a people, as a nation, committed the unpardonable sin. And as soon as this took place in Matthew 12, verse 22 to 30, if you run the cross references, that's when Israel was done. As a people, except when Jesus was on the cross, he asked the Father to forgive them, so they got a second chance, and that's where the book of Acts steps in play. But if you read down through there, if you look at verse 27, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils. Okay, now Beelzebub means the Lord of the flies. If you talk to another Christian, and if you ask them, and I've done this before, have you ever considered an unclean spirit? Me? I'm a Christian. Well, do you got flies in your house? You ever get a fly in your house or a mosquito? Well, yeah. well, then you may need to consider that you got spirit problem. And you maybe have to deal with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 or whatever. And a lot of times people don't even want to consider, how dare you say that? Very easily, it's in the scriptures. And then he says, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Are we not in the kingdom of God? Why is the church so silent about this? Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, then he will spoil his house? Binding the strong man, in this context, the strong man is the unclean spirits, and that is power that each born-again believer has in Jesus Christ, where you can bind the unclean spirits. And when you wrestle somebody that's got their hands tied behind the back, I think you're going to win. And so this is necessary. Why is this so quiet? Why is this so silent in the churches? Why are the Baptists not talking about this? Or the Charismatics? Charismatics try to glorify it in a case because they're infested. Okay, the devil is a defeated foe. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord made a fool out of him that day. And the devil, and of course, you know, I'm not dumb enough to think the devil's ever bothered me. Why? He can only be in one place one time. He's going for the brass buttons. He's going for the big dogs. He's too busy working on the Bible, the next Bible revision. Seriously, that's where he works most. Bible revisions to deceive the Christians. He's done over 200 since 1880. He is direct involved with that. And then in political world, he's direct involved in that. He's a defeated foe. In that, James 4:7 says, if you resist him, he will flee from you. He don't have a choice in that matter. And the devils also are the same way. Now, Satan himself has no fear. I've heard people say, well, the devil trembles when someone's on his knees praying. No, he's not. He or his cohorts kneel right beside them and then give them wicked thoughts while they're praying. He has no fear. Job 41:33 says that he was created without fear. He doesn't fear God, doesn't fear you, he doesn't fear me, doesn't fear scripture. He doesn't fear anything, but he doesn't have a choice when we resist him. He doesn't have a choice when we use the blood of Jesus Christ in his name. Now, devils fear. Several years ago, I used to visit the Jasper County Jail from 9 to noon about. And one guy was getting out that Saturday, and his girlfriend was picking him up. He wanted me to witness to his girlfriend, so I was talking to her. And I said something to her about, you know, being saved of the Lord. She said, well, I believe in God. I said, that's good. The devils also do that. I said, do you fear God? She said, oh, no. I said, well, looky there. The devils believe in God and fear God. So actually, the devils are better than you. She didn't appreciate that witness. But the devils fear God. The devils fear the spirit that's in the believer. We had a girl years ago at the Rensselaer Church showed up. Jan met her down at Remington. They were knocking on doors. She was a Satanist or ex-Satanist in the Remington area. And she came to church that one Sunday morning, and she was dressed in Gothic black top down. And she'd sit in a back pew, and then she'd get up, look at me, and then walk out, and come back in, and walk back out, come back in, just as nervous as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. And so afterwards, I got chatting with her. I said, are you scared of us? She said, well, you make us nervous. So then the next Sunday, she came back the next Sunday, and again, she behaved in the same fashion. And the next Sunday, I went with my wife to take her home down to Remington. And I was asking her about the covens in our area. She said, well, Remington, Rensselaer, Roselawn, that's a hot spot. Well, in her influence, that was a hot spot. And I said something about St. Joe College. And I said, oh, no. She said, oh, no, I'm not going there with that. But as it will happen, when somebody like that gets saved, the devil quickly brings a boyfriend in the picture who pulls him out of church. And it's amazing how that works. He's got to keep his own as best he can. If he lost her soul, he wants to keep him defeated. So the idea here is that the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ reveals there's authority and power. But let's look at his techniques, the manner. Okay, in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. The manner of the Lord reveals a proper attitude in this idea. Now, a person tends to think that this is only, you know, in demonic areas, you know, in high places and satanic activity. No, a lot of this takes place right in church. Okay, where it's not a manifestation of the weirdness like the maniac of Gadara, but what it does is their eyes become dull, their ears become dull, they can't hear what you say. In fact, the spirits will twist the words out of your mouth to their ears, and they hear what the spirits want them to hear. And that's the technique. In Luke 10, now when the apostles, their 70 disciples, were given this authority, Luke 10:17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And then he said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning fall from heaven. He just said, oh, he's a defeated foe. Yeah, yeah. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And the Lord says, not that big of a deal. I'm in authority. And if you want to exercise this authority, fine, but you ought to be happy your name's written in heaven. You see the balance, what the Lord, he's not giving a drama. He's not drawing attention to the unclean spirits. He's just matter-of-factly, when it crosses his path, he takes care of it and then moves forward. That's the scriptural way of doing it. Okay, in Luke 9, verse 1, he said, and he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Why is the church so silent about this? Why do they not teach this to the young people at Christian colleges? Why do they not talk about it in seminaries? They're dead and hammer anyway. I mean, guy go through seminary, it's just, they come out dead as a hammer anyway. I mean, it's just amazing. And a person needs to be very cautious about this. If you would, look at Luke chapter 11, because if you do not follow the leading of the Spirit, you can cause more damage with this power than you can without it. Luke 11:24, and when the unclean spirits has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then cometh he and taketh him 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they entered in and dwell there, and that last state of that man is worse than the first. You see, if you don't follow the leading of God with this individual, you can make it worse. It's not just something you go haphazard. Several years ago, knew a farmer over in Francisville area, and he, their religious circle, they had a 23-year-old kid who was demonized big time, and they didn't know how to handle this kid, and he wanted me to talk to this kid, so I did for an hour. So we're in the car together, and the spirits tried to pull a few things with me, because they have a technique to try to mess you up. And so here the kid is, and we're in a car, and he stares at me like, and I put my hands in front of his eyes, said, don't do that to me. And so he waited about 5 or 10 minutes, and then the spirits, again, I go like that. I said, no, don't do that to me. 3 times I had to do that. Now, I told the gentleman who wanted me to talk to this young fella, I said, my advice to you is leave him alone. You don't know what you're doing. Well, I want to help him. commendable. But you don't know what you're doing. Now, that kid was infested. And that kid didn't want to give it up. So I'm not going to intervene on that situation because that would have made it worse. So what happens? Okay, if unclean spirits are like flies and mosquitoes, if he had 1,000 buzzing in his head or buzzing around him, if you're around him, what would happen to maybe 10 of those? Well, my friend started acting just like that boy. This was December. I talked to him. I warned my friend in December, first week of December, while they were shelling some corn. I said, my advice to you is leave him alone. I would advise you, leave that kid alone. You don't know what you're doing. 6 weeks later, for about 4 weeks later, he started acting like that kid. On the seventh week, he committed suicide. Not the kid. My friend. Why? Spiritual warfare. It's serious. And if a person doesn't take spiritual dominion, then it could come back on a person. Okay? It's a shocking thing. Now, how many of us have had prayers go unanswered? Right? And when you pray and ask God about certain things, maybe about health, about that, this, and you don't know if the Lord's going to answer it in an affirmative or the way you'd like it. These prayers of spiritual dominion work every time. 100%. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to see the visible evidence of it. You might, and often when you do, it's like, man, praise God. But I guarantee it's working, but you don't see it. Every time. The power of the name of Jesus Christ never fails. Never fails. And that right there ought to be enough testimony. Now, a wise believer recognizes there's got to be proper timing. In Acts chapter 19, if you take some time to read it, it's the only time you find the word exorcism in the Bible. Exorcist. Remember that movie years ago? I never saw the thing. Exorcist. King James Bible only word. It's only found in the King James Bible. Some of these guys thought, hey, that was pretty cool, that exorcism. So let's try that. And the spirits manifested themselves and they said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And then they left, they came on that guy and then they attacked these guys, and then they fled out of the house naked and wounded. If a person's not saved, they're just playing, it's like playing with a cobra. King Cobra. But you see, these things are available, and a person can recognize that you can do more damage than good if you're not following the leading of God. Now, in Ephesians 6:12, the methods of wrestling are accomplished through prayer and the spoken word. Very important. Spoken word. It doesn't have to be loud. It can be like a dog whistle, a dog where you and I don't hear the words or the sound of a dog whistle, but the dog can hear it. Jesus said, I'm sending you as sheep amongst wolves. So it's a spoken word, and it's through the prayer, and it's vitally important to recognize this. If you would go to Acts chapter 26, Acts chapter 26. You and I can take spiritual dominion. Fathers, you can speak, you should. Take spiritual dominion over your house. And if dad's not right, mama, you can take spiritual dominion over your house. Okay, now in Acts 26, this is the testimony of the apostle Paul. Saul at the time when he came to Christ. You'll see if you run down through their Acts 26, 14 and 15, where Jesus says, Saul, Saul. And then he informs Saul about the methods of the ministry. Okay, and then verse 7, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Okay, this is how I'm going to send you. What do you do, Paul? To open their eyes. Number one, the Bible is an eye-opening ministry, but the problem is the spirits are blinding the eyes, covering the ears, dull of hearing. The Bible is a very logical book, but the problem is it's a spiritual book, and you got three barriers you got to break through before that party can actually reason. So it says, open the eyes, turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Most soldiers that witness for Christ will go right into number four without one, two, and three. And what's happening? It's falling on deaf ears. You see, and so you got there, forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that's in me. So there's great liberty that a believer has. In fact, Paul said that a born-again believer is a more than conquerors. And in Romans 8, he says that we have a liberty and the creatures of the world are waiting for the manifestation of our liberty. That's what they want. Okay, but we need to recognize you got to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. The liberty comes through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God. And an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. But if you're going to go into a woods and you know there's mosquitoes everywhere, well, obviously, if you don't want to get bit by mosquitoes, don't go in the woods. But yet you want to walk through the woods. So when you walk through the woods, what are you going to do? You want to put some off on or on off or off on to keep mosquitoes away. Why don't we do that in the spiritual world? That's what the whole armor of God is. We put the armor of God on, which is like off, that repels the fiery darts of the wicked. When you're wrestling is you're in the middle of it, wrestling with the opponent. It's a spiritual warfare. Now, first things first, the soldier needs cleansed first. So you cleanse yourself with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Do a blood bath, Hebrews 9:14. Do a blood bath on yourself. And it says, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, 2 Corinthians 7, that's written to save people. And it says that you can perfect, okay, and cleanse your flesh and spirit from the filthiness of the world. The soul has been cleansed. But we're dealing with the spiritual world here. So the soldier needs to be right. And then a soldier takes dominion over his house. You say, you mean a house can be haunted? Exactly. I knew somebody down in Rensselaer Tuck that they had some creature in their house that they thought it was kind of funny. But they said it would actually imprint their skin, but they couldn't see it, and they'd brush them in the hallway. And a person says, you believe in that stuff? Most certainly. Why? Because here's what Paul said in Ephesians 4. He said, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Okay, there's a right anger, but people say, oh, there's a righteous anger. Yeah, but 99% of the time our anger's wrong anyway. But when we hold it, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, the next verse, which is a continuation of the sentence, says, neither give place to the devil. Yes, he can take up residence in your house and in my house. Yes. Several years ago, Brent and Jen was at the house, and it was in the basement, and in the evening, they ran upstairs. Dad, when was the last time you cleansed the house? It's been a little while. He said, something's walking around down there that we don't like to hear it. Yes. Yes, that's possible. Do you know what's happened on your property in the past? Was somebody murdered on your property? You don't know. I don't know. Their blood is still crying out. We have no idea what's going on or in your neighbor's property. And you need to take a man and a mama can take dominion over your house. Now, in the Bible, in the reference Bible, I have a prayer in Nehemiah 13:30 in the footnote. And a person could just easily pray this over your house, walking around your house, praying it out loud. Now, I would suggest to do it when nobody's around because everybody's going to think you're nuts. Okay. But yeah. Yeah. Now, for an individual, I have a prayer at 1 Thessalonians 5:17 where it says pray without ceasing, where you can take dominion of an area. If you would, look in 2 Corinthians. Why is the church so silent about these things? 2 Corinthians, Paul was not silent about it. He shows some of the techniques. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So there's a right kind of war. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against God, and so forth and so forth. There, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There are places that you can go and sense the spirits. And you could take dominion over that. You could bully them. You can bind and bully unclean spirits. And it's like, and in my little world, I got this, I'm taking care of this stronghold. Okay, and that's what he's saying in verse 4, taking care of a stronghold. I saw this little clip. This black guy went to this protest where a bunch of pro-abortionists there, you know, pro-death, about 100 of them, and he had a little speaker or megaphone or whatnot. And he just kind of, he set the trap and the bait, and then people just stepped right into it. And he says, your body, your choice, amen, and all these, yeah, Black Lives Matter, yeah. Black babies in the womb matter. Silence. Black babies in the womb matter. Silence. You see, and a person can walk through there and just start praying against the spirits. Just walk right through there. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you, unclean spirits. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. You might just bust up the whole protest through prayer. Walk around the place, take dominion. We've got that authority. You see, and it's not hard for God. If you would, look in Luke chapter 11. Matthew 18 talks about when you bind something on earth, it's been bound in heaven. And that's dealing with the spirits. And that's the power the believer has. And you can cleanse yourself from past relationships because there's a bind that's stuck with you. An ungodly soul tie with somebody in the past. Okay, and so that needs to be cut and bound and broke. And then you have liberty. In Luke chapter 11, this is not some magical thing. It's not some drama thing. You see how easy it is in Luke 11, verse 20? He says, But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. What does he mean, the finger of God? You ever sit at a table and read your Bible and a fly just keeps bugging you? I mean, a fly's body. Usually when I get something like that, you know, I try to grab that thing. And if I get it, man, I'm very careful with it. But then I'll take them two wings off. And then I'll set it right there. Now, see, it did something. And then with the finger of God, let it go. And it can't fly anymore. And it don't get one black eye. It gets all them little eyeballs black. That's the power of God. The spoken word of the power with the finger of God. He cleanses it. Then he says, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. In this context, the strong man is Beelzebub. But when a stronger, I think Jesus Christ is stronger, then he shall come upon him and overcome him. He taketh from him all his armor wherewith he trusted his spoil and divided his spoils. You see, when we witness verbally to people or talk to people verbally, there is an invisible shield there. And we can remove that through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, this is not saying that they're going to accept what we say. It gives them a liberty, at least a freedom to accept, to hear it unhindered by their religion, by their viewpoint. At least you can get right through to them. Now, it's up to them to choose the truth or not. But at least we can remove the blindness of this. You watch people's eyes when you talk to them. And if you bring up a topic, if a person's got a devil or two, when you bring up the hot topic that devil has them stuck on, you'll see them right that quick get angry. Or you'll see their eyes glass over like they've been smoking weed that quick. I've watched it that quick over their eyes, and I know exactly what happened. You go up to the boats, casinos, and watch them people. Blank look on their face. Just a blank look. One machine, next machine, next machine. One machine. Passivity is the worst form of being possessed by devils. The unclean spirit, the maniac, you couldn't tame him. You couldn't bind him. You couldn't love him. You couldn't scare him. Just a blank look. It's like a zombie. That's infestation. And God shows us how we can break through that through the name and blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, obviously our homes, we want to clean up the spiritual application. Now, if a person is going to clean up their home and then bring in music that's going to draw unclean spirits, it's just going to be like coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. But this is a prayer that I guarantee it works every time because the name of Jesus Christ never fails. His blood is available. Parents, grandparents, we need to pray for our kids. Cleanse them with the shed blood of Jesus Christ and take dominion. Intercede. This is what Job did for his kids, did he not? So we can intercede. That's one of the things God wants us to do. Intercede for our family. And continually pray. This is a prayer warrior of prayer that guarantees works because of the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray that we'd recognize that the men, the parents, mom and dad can take dominion over their house, spiritual dominion. And we can take dominion, guys at work. They can be working on the job and praying while they're working. Cleansing that place. Even when the music's blaring, they can cleanse that place. Lord, I just pray you'd help us to recognize that this power, it's not some drama-filled, it's not drawing attention to unclean spirits, it's drawing attention to Jesus Christ. Recognizing that by the finger of God, we have this power through Jesus Christ. And first, help us to cleanse ourselves first. By chance, if someone's not born again, they need to get saved first. And then cleanse ourselves, and then do all that we can cleanse our area, our sphere of influence. Lord, I pray you'd help us recognize this truth. This amazing power that the church is silent about. People are silent about. No wonder the church is in a mess. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to recognize this tremendous power we have in the name, the blood of Jesus Christ, and the spoken word of God. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Okay, we'll be dismissed from that.